Well, this month, the messages are going to be from my favorite book, the book of Philippians in the Bible. And each week, we're going to take one chapter, and we're just going to work our way right through that. And this week, we're on chapter 2, and the song talked about, I want to know your heart, and chapter 2 talks about knowing the mind of Christ. How is it that Jesus thinks? And so we're going to be looking at that. I'm going to read just the first four verses to get us started. In the second chapter, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Paul wrote so many books of the Bible, and if you've spent any time reading Paul's letters, you know that Paul is the master of the run-on sentence. Sometimes entire paragraphs are really in the original just one big long sentence with thought after thought piled in there. And this is one of those times when you look at it, there is just so much happening here in these first couple of verses. And sometimes when I get overwhelmed and I'm trying to really get some clarity on what Paul is saying, or really any scripture for that matter, I find it helpful to read other translations. And so I just want to read you the same verses, but from the Contemporary English Version. And whereas we heard, if there's any encouragement in being united with Christ, if there's any love, etc., this version just makes those sentences, not questions. Because the obvious answer for Paul is, if there is, yeah, there certainly is. So here again, these first four verses. Christ encourages you and his love comforts you. God's Spirit unites you and you are concerned for others. Now make me completely happy. Live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think as if you're only one person. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves. There's a number of themes going on here that actually are very fitting for Valentine's Day. There's the theme of love, of unity, of compassion, of humility, and we could probably have a good Valentine's sermon on that, but we're not doing that this month. We're just looking at everything right here in this chapter. But when you think about it, even on Valentine's Day, who really thinks like this? Who really puts others first? Who really thinks so much about compassion and humility and unity, about lifting up others' needs above our own? I mean, who thinks that way? I mean, sometimes those of us who live in Minnesota or the Midwest like to think that we think that way. I mean, we were brought up to have a certain level of humility. You don't want to look like you're too proud, don't want to get too big for your britches, as Mom used to say. We think that we are a very compassionate people here in the Midwest, but, let me just use this example. It's the Great Midwest Cookie Test. Now, if you're not from Minnesota, don't understand Minnesota nice or the Midwest way of thinking, then this test won't make any sense to you. But if you're from Minnesota, I'm sure you'll ace it. So here's a plate of cookies. A big mounded plate of cookies. And when you see a plate of cookies like that, maybe it's at a church dinner or even at a dinner at your house, how many cookies can you take? You can take pretty much as many as you want as long as you don't make a pig of yourself, right? If you wanted 2, 3, 4 cookies even, you could take off a plate like this. It's okay. But what about when the plate gets down a little further? So when you have only like 7 cookies on the plate, now how many are you allowed to take? Well, 1 or 2, right? Because you have to be thinking about others. So maybe you can take 2 off a plate like this. But what about when the plate gets down to 2? How many cookies can you take? 1. I saw a lot of fingers go up. You can take 1 cookie, because nobody would be so self-centered, so full of themselves, that they would take both of those cookies. You would only take 1. We're not that brazen. But then, what about when there's just 1 cookie left? How many can you take? None. There we go. Exactly. You cannot take that cookie. We are not so brazen as to take the last cookie or the last bit of ice cream or the last scoop of hot dish from the pan. It's not to be done. And if you dare do it, somebody might rat you out like my kids used to do. If I took that last cookie, even if I had none of them and they'd eaten the whole pile, they would run to Tammy and say, "Mom, Dad ate all the cookies." We know that we have to leave that one cookie because we have to be thinking about others. But we're not so concerned with others as we appear, because we all know how to get that last cookie while still appearing to be humble. And that's to ask the simple question, would anyone like this last cookie? I mean, it looks like it's an act of kindness and generosity, but we know that the proper answer to that question is, oh no, you go ahead. You know, it makes it look like we're really thinking about others, but we could have just as well stuck a knife in the middle of the table and said, I dare you to take my cookie. We're not so concerned about others as we want to pretend. Because, I mean, really, who thinks like that? Who thinks of putting others so much in front of themselves? Well, Jesus does. Verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It says, if anybody should be able to think of themselves as better than others, it's Jesus. Because Jesus is in very nature God. And now this gets into the whole concept of the Trinity. How in Christ the fullness of God is there. The Trinity says that there is one God, but in three persons, the three in one. And there's really nothing in our life that is exactly comparable to that. So any analogy that we make is only partial, it's incomplete. The one that I kind of like is the colored glasses analogy, or the colored water analogy. So you start off with a glass of blue water and a glass of yellow water. And they look they're two very distinct things. You can talk about the blue, you can talk about the yellow. But then you pour the blue into the yellow and you get green. So when we look at these, is the water in the middle, is that green or is it blue and yellow? Well, really, it's all of those. It's blue and yellow and it's green. And it says, as close as we can get to the concept that there is one God but three persons, and in Jesus Christ there is the fullness of God. He's in very nature God. But he didn't consider his godness his rights as the creator of the universe. He didn't consider that something to hold on to or to leverage. Instead, he gave it all up. And he humbled himself to become one of us. So Christ is fully God, but Christ is also fully human. And he became not just any human, not just a regular everyday person, but even worse. He didn't stop at the average human. He went lower and lower as he went towards death on a cross. A humiliating and awful experience. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, the cross was the most humiliating form of punishment the Romans could dish out. They didn't want to just kill you, they wanted to humiliate you. And so you were stripped naked, you were beaten, you were spit upon, you were mocked, and then you were nailed powerlessly to a cross for all to see, to humiliate you, to let everybody know that you were the lowest of the low. You know, we often try to make it a little bit more presentable. We'll wrap that cloth around Jesus, even though the scripture says that they cast dice for his clothes. And sometimes we even kind of clean up all the blood and stuff so we don't see how horrible it is. But it was as horrible as it could be. In a strange way, kind of think about this as God's limbo. You know that old game where you go under a bar and you go, how low can you go? Well, Jesus went as low as you could go. And he started as high as you could get. Yet he went there for me and you. He didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. He made himself nothing. Became obedient to even death on a cross. And he didn't do it because we deserve it. He didn't go to the cross for us because we were so wonderful. He did it because of his great love. And then we are asked to have that same kind of mind, to have the same mind as in Christ Jesus. So when we think of others as needs more than ours, when we are selfless in giving, we're just following in the footsteps of Christ. Because Jesus put our needs above his rights. Jesus asks us to follow in the same footsteps, to think of others, not just of ourselves. But as we're reminded here, when Jesus did that, when he went as low as he could go for our sake, then God raised him up as high as he could go. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So have a mind like Jesus. You want to be on top? You need to start at the bottom. You want to be first? Become last. Because real power is in humility, it's in unity, it's in caring for others. And I know that's weird, but Jesus thinks weird. He really does. God doesn't think like we do. I mentioned that we're having Rule of Christ training from Jesus' words in Matthew 18. And I was at another church when we were having Rule of Christ training. And the trainer was going through the steps that Jesus gave for dealing with if you've been hurt by someone in the church. And the first step is to go and talk with them. Try to work it out between the two of you. Don't post on Facebook. Don't go in some back corner and badmouth them. Don't file some kind of complaint. Go and talk with them and try to work it out. And as the trainer was going through these various steps, there's a fellow that spoke up from the back, and he said, "That'll never work. Whose idea is this anyways?" And the trainer said, well, these are the words of Jesus from Matthew 18. The guy said, "Well, that's just stupid." Well, I don't know that I would call Jesus stupid, but I do think he thinks weird. And as we go on in the second chapter, we're even going to find some more weird things too. Verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence." Remember, Paul was in jail as he's writing this. Can't be with his friends in Philippi. "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That certainly is not the way that the world thinks, is it? Now, it's a little weird. And Paul knew it was weird. In fact, he says, it is so weird to act that way, to go through life without grumbling and arguing, that if you do it, you will stand out like the stars in the sky. You will shine like a star in a world that's warped and crooked. He said, the life that you're called to in Christ is a life that is not like the world. And he says, while the rest of the world is doing their grumbling and complaining, you will be working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, don't mistake that for Paul saying that you got to save yourself. Because he says just after that it's God who works in you to both will and to act. It's God that even gives us the desire to follow in Jesus' footsteps. No, when he says work out your salvation, he really means live out your saved life. Be different from the world. And notice, this ability comes from God. So we don't save ourselves, because Jesus already did that on the cross. But as saved people, God is at work in us to fulfill his good purpose. And then finally, he wraps it up with this way. He talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, Timothy is Paul's co-worker, and if you remember from last week, he is writing the letter with Paul. He's one of the co-signers of the letter. And Paul is going to send him back with this letter that we're reading to the church in Philippi, and then Timothy will come back, but he's also sending Epaphroditus, who is from Philippi, back to stay. Here's what he says. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, so he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him to you as soon as I see how things go with me, and I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. Epaphroditus had come from Philippi to help care for Paul when he's in prison. And in doing that, he risked his life and he almost died. And Paul says, honor people like him. You know, we honor a lot of people. My middle son and his family live in Kansas City. And so this week, they went down to the celebration. Hundreds of thousands of people gathering all in red to celebrate the Chiefs Super Bowl victory and to honor those great athletes. And tonight, we've got the Academy Awards, which surprisingly, if you think about it, we honor people for pretending to be people who risk their life for others, like 1917, a movie about people who are risking their lives for the sake of others. Well, they're pretending to, and maybe they'll get an award. Or there's actually one Academy Award nominee is playing Pope Francis in the movie Two Popes. And again, somebody pretending to be somebody who gave their life for Christ. And there's also, Charlize Theron is up for playing Megyn Kelly, who risked her career to expose abuse in the workplace. So all these people are pretending to risk their lives and to do things that are great. But Paul says, if you want to honor somebody, honor people like Epaphroditus, who really did give their all and put their life on the line to serve others and to help in the cause of Christ. So he says, you want to be different? Follow Christ. Follow the mind of Christ. Follow in the footsteps of Christ. Dare to think differently. And I know it's weird, but dare to be humble, to seek unity, to put the needs of others above our own, because that's what Jesus did for us. Let us pray. Jesus, it is so against our natural inclinations to not insist on our own rights, to not advance our own cause in front of others. But you call us to a different way. You call us to love others so deeply that we might even humble ourselves for their sake, not because they deserve it, but simply out of love, the kind of love that comes from you. Because that's what you did. You humbled yourself from the creator of the universe down to a cross for us. We are eternally grateful. Amen.